the airlines beefed up customer service over the holidays. So how did that work out? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Kate Hanai, founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passengers Bill of Rights. We talked with Kate yesterday about some of the background on how her organization was formed in more detail than we had before. And also, we talked a little bit about her lawsuit, a class action suit which has been filed against American Airlines in relation to the December 29th, 2006 stranding, which prompted the start of the coalition. Kate, welcome back. I want to talk to you today about a couple of other aspects, facets of this issue. One of them is that your organization has a toll-free hotline, and over the holidays, you promised to keep track of how airlines were treating people and invited calls to that hotline, even if it wasn't directly related to a stranding incident. How did that go?
Well, it was very interesting. We did get some stranding events, but we had a high number of calls from elderly people who had a variety of different things happen to them, and disabled people. What was very fascinating is that we got a series of phone calls right as I was doing media announcing that we were going to man the hotline. We got just rolling numbers of phone calls. People were actually storing our number in their phone, and they were making sure they had the number correct so that when they did travel, that they had it just in case.
Wow.
And that was very cool. And then, for instance, one of the people that called us, this was a little bit disturbing, was actually a Northwest Airlines passenger that was disabled in a wheelchair, said that Northwest Airlines customer service had told him to call us for a wheelchair.
Really?
Yes. And so we had, unfortunately, we had a priest answering the phone. We had a variety of people. We have a veterinarian, a doctor, a priest, an insurance underwriter, a stay-at-home mom, this really wonderful bevy of talent that were all answering the phones for free and who were very talented at it. And the priest answered the phone. It was his first call.
Oh.
And he said, "Am I being punished?" That's what he said.
Well, now,
he didn't say that to the client or to the passenger. He said that to us because he couldn't figure out why Northwest would send a poor disabled person to us to get them a wheelchair.
Well, now, is this a reflection of the frustration of gate people over the behavior of their own companies?
I believe so, yes. I believe this is the frustration of the customer service people saying, you know, we're just not compensated well enough, and we're being barraged with requests. And, you know, I don't know if you heard about that woman that was left out on the tarmac for 6 or 7 hours in a wheelchair in Las Vegas.
Yes.
And, but we heard of a series of events like that. I have a woman who's very articulate who lives in Texas who's 77 years old who called our hotline, and she had had an arm amputated. And they forced her to go through her bags in at the check-in, not security, but at the check-in, and she was on her hands and knees on the ground, and no one would help her.
Oh.
And she just had her arm amputated, and then she got bumped from her flight, and because of what happened, she ended up having to have another surgery when she got to where she was going, and she was mad as you know what.
Oh yeah.
And she said, "I will go wherever you want me to go, and I will speak about this." And she was very articulate. She used to be a professor, and and this woman is ready to fight. And then there were just a whole barrage. There was another woman who had a Spirit Airlines ticket. She had gone up to see from Florida to New York to see the birth of her grandson, an older woman. And it was like 3 weeks later, and she'd gone back to the airport, and they'd lost her return ticket. And they couldn't find any evidence of her having flown up there.
Hmm.
And so they weren't going to let her on the plane.
Oh.
And, yeah, and she called our hotline, and we managed to get her on a flight and get her home. And she emailed to thank us, and she said, "I just want you to thank Dr. Steve. You know, I know he helped me get home, and I've filed a complaint, and And she didn't get home on Spirit. She got home on a different airline, but he helped her with that. And we helped a lot of people understand that if the airline didn't keep their contract with them, they could go to their credit card companies and have them challenge it on mm-hmm. their behalf.
Right.
A number of, you know, very simple things that a lot of people just don't know to do that we coached them on. And we actually took over making those calls for people. So it was very brilliant. And we're going to do it again over every holiday. We're going to man the hotline like that. Right now, we're not manning it because a lot of our people have gone back to work full time. And so we are taking messages and then calling people back as quickly as possible within the hour
right.
of them calling. But it really, a lot of elderly people, there was really a rash of what I would call elder abuse.
Hmm.
Yes, fascinating.
Now, do you find that the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights is a oh yeah, we've heard of them kind of reaction among all the airline people?
Oh yes. Oh yes, and mostly positive. I mean, we rarely get a negative comment other than the management of the airlines.
Right.
Wherever I am, people know who I am, for sure.
Well, except for that one. What was it? Virgin America. When you went to buy a ticket.
Oh yes, no, they didn't. But they know now.
Yes.
And I'm flying Virgin again. Mm-hmm. I think I told you. Their service and the quality of the food and the quality of the experience is so good that as often as I can, I'm taking that airline. But, really, we did have a stranding event that stands out in my mind December 1st. It was a woman with two premature twins, her mm-hmm. husband, who's a police officer. They live in Albuquerque, New Mexico, but they were traveling from Chicago to Albany. And she had a five-year-old also with her. Now, we didn't get any videotape from her because when I tell you the story, you'll understand why. She was completely overwhelmed. They're on the tarmac in Chicago for almost 7.5 hours. This was a United flight. And it was they were de-icing the plane. It was cold outside and snowing and all that. And but there's no reason for them to be out there 7.5 hours. And her five-year-old was ill. And he was vomiting.
Mm-hmm.
And she was begging the flight attendants for some water, potable water, bottled water, so she could mix formula for her preemies and also give her five-year-old some water. And then she asked for some blankets for him.
And they won't let you carry water on the plane. So, hello.
Right. And so the flight attendants actually got very demeaning with her. And this woman is just a sweetie. She's really soft-spoken, doesn't like to complain. It wasn't until she talked to some people that had been on the flight later that she'd gotten their contact information, and they encouraged her to talk to us and to go forward with the media. And she actually filed an affidavit for the Albany court for Judge Kahn to hold up the New York law and got it notarized because this was such an egregious event. It impacted her so much.
Mm-hmm.
The flight attendants were teasing her and saying, why are the other passengers helping her? What's the deal with the water, lady? Why do you need water?
Oh.
And they finally brought her water from the bathroom sinks. And she said, I can't give this to my premature twins.
Right.
You know, I mean, and her son finally became so gravely ill, she had to go up to the pilot and say, I need an ambulance. And finally, the pilot took them to a gate,
wow.
but only let them off, not the other passengers. And many of the other passengers said, we want off, too. And he wouldn't let them off.
Wow. Well,
so,
it your life has become full of fascinating stories, that's for sure. Well, listen, Kate, either there's a cow in the room with you or somebody's trying to reach you on your phone set to vibrate.
I'm sorry. Yes, that's why I didn't think you could hear that. But it's okay. I can call them back.
Well, we're gonna take a break now, so go ahead and call them back, and we'll be back in a moment.
Okay.
We're talking with Kate Hanai, who is the founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights, and we'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Platt. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with Kate Hanai, founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passengers Bill of Rights. Kate is in the center of all kinds of things going on right now in the aviation industry, and we're getting caught up, and it's taking 2 days to do it, and I'm kind of not surprised. Kate, we talked about how things went over the holidays. Let's talk about where things stand with your group's work legislatively. Are you still alive at the federal level in Congress and at the DOT?
We're it's one of those fortunately, unfortunately things. Like, fortunately for the flying public, we're alive at every level and growing.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for me, there's only one of me, and they would like me to be everywhere in all the states
right. To
testify. So we're going to have to figure out how to delegate some of this amongst our members that are in each of the individual states that want to pass laws.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. We can do it. And so basically the ANPRM, the NPRM at the DOT are all alive. The state of Rhode Island, the state of Arizona, the state of California, the state of Washington, the state of New Jersey, the state of Florida are all looking to pass their own individual bills of rights, which is fabulous, because basically what we're doing is it's like we're stinging the airlines like a beehive.
And,
you know, I don't mean to take so much, you know, I don't mean to gloat, but what it's doing is it's placing a lot of pressure on them in the sense that they're motivated in a very rare and awkward way to pressure the federal government to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be, they're not going to like that all these states have such high civil penalties attached to their laws. And they're going to want to likely go to the federal government, which is moving forward anyway on the legislation.
And say, please preempt all these bee stings.
Yes, but preemption's not going to work, because what the states are doing that's so smart, other than New Mexico passed some liquor law that said that they can't serve liquor onboard aircraft in New Mexico when they're on the ground, but that has nothing to do with us.
Well, no, New Mexico wanted it to affect overflights.
Over in the air, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Right. I heard about that, and that has nothing to do with us.
Right.
So if that law gets overturned, that has nothing to do with us. But and we're not taking a stand on that one way or another. But with regard to all of the other health and safety laws that are being passed, and that's our vernacular, health and safety issues, because that's how Judge Kahn managed to hold up the New York legislation, was by saying the preemption issue is a ridiculous attempt on the airline's part to overturn this law. They have not met the burden of showing that the Deregulation Act was meant to be an economic act.
Right.
It wasn't meant to say that people should be stuck on aircraft without food or water
mm-hmm.
indefinitely.
Right.
And so he was saying, you know, given a certain length of time, the elderly, the infirmed, children, the disabled, the ill, the frail, those people should be taken care of by the state after a certain period of time if they don't have food or any potable water or hygienic toilets or temperature control in the airplanes, or they could die.
And let's be specific here. We're not talking about in the sense of a welfare program be taken care of by the state, have their rights upheld by the state.
That's correct. The right, you have no ability to advocate for yourself if you're stuck in an aircraft and the airline has not met their contract with you or the contract that you think you have with them.
Right.
So if you think you're taking off at 8 a.m. and you're stuck for 4 hours on the tarmac, and then you've got an additional four-hour flight, but they're not giving you any potable water, and you need to take your medication, or you're a diabetic. Whatever the situation is, it puts people at risk. Not everyone, but there are people that will be at risk, and it can create all kinds of bad situations for people. And the airlines have had callous disregard until the states have actually taken this stand. We are noticing a shift mm-hmm. right now. I believe the airlines are scared that this is going to happen. It is going to happen, you know, and I believe they've gotten scared now, and they're trying to show, oh, we've made all these wonderful changes again, you know, that we promised to make in 2001 and 1999 and didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And basically our message, our mantra is going to be, they promised it before, they didn't do it, once bitten, twice shy.
Right.
And, you know, we just want to have some basic measures. We're not trying to take the airlines down financially. So they're going to probably ask the federal government to pass their own Bill of Rights with lower civil penalties. That would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because $1,000 per person in each state, which is what the states are looking at, which is what New York has, if you've got 100 people on an aircraft, that's $100,000 for one violation.
Right.
That's a pretty stiff penalty. You know, if they violate it. However, these violations are pretty egregious, so it should be stiff. Otherwise, they'll continue to violate it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to see how it goes. But it's my guess that we'll be on the Senate floor in early February. That's what we're hearing federally. So I believe we're going to have some federal law that's going to protect all airline passengers. And we're also going to have a whole bunch of state laws, and we're just going to have to see how we can handle that with preemption.
Well, now, I have to get in one last question here from the standpoint of my own philosophy, which is if it can be done with market forces, that would be the way to go. I understand that's not always possible. One of the big problems you've had with the airlines is their so-called contract of carriage with a passenger is not really a contract.
Right.
Or if it is, it is so full of weasel words and lawyer language that it doesn't really mean anything. Is there any progress on that market-based standpoint of forcing the airlines to have enforceable contracts of carriage so that at least as a consumer, you can go shopping and say, you know, that airline doesn't promise me that they'll take care of me in this way. I'll go and fly with airline B. Is there any progress in that regard?
Well, that's what we're working on with the DOT right now with their advance notice of the proposed rulemaking. We have drafted our suggestions to them, and our suggestion, we use the word enforceable in almost every clause, because clearly the contract of carriage from the standpoint of the passenger to the airline is not enforceable in many ways, but the airline clearly enforces it whenever they want to against the passenger.
Right.
So yes, I don't know that we've made progress yet there, but we're working on it. And we believe that we will make progress there. That's probably the toughest piece that we have to deal with right now, is getting the DOT to see the light as far as the importance of enforceability in the contract of carriage. And then the second piece of that, which we are adamant about, or we may have to come out actually against the ANPRM altogether,
mm-hmm.
and that could happen. We're waiting to see how our meetings go next week with them. But I believe I'm on the task force for long onboard delays
mm-hmm.
that they've called for. So I applied for it. It's my understanding I'm on it. So this will be very interesting because Mary Peters also, the way the DOT drew it up, they did not have the DOT overseeing the contracts of carriage or the ability for them to mandate minimum standards for
mm-hmm.
the airlines if the airlines don't have an enforceable contract of carriage. So there was nothing in that ANPRM regarding getting people off the planes or essential needs that could be guaranteed or enforceable the way that it was written. And we have already submitted our changes for the language we would like, but we haven't heard back from them. And now we're going to go in and say, these are the changes we want. We're going in next week. And if we don't get them, then we're going to have to take a stand against it. We just wanted to give you the heads up. Right. That's what we're going to say to them.
Well, Kate, I know you've taken on a big, big challenge, another long year ahead of you, but it sounds like you're making progress. And I don't know about you, but when I can say I'm making progress, it always keeps me going through tough challenges. We'll look forward to keeping up with you in 2008.
Well, thanks so much, Paul. It's always a pleasure doing an interview with you, and I look forward to giving you more positive results and progress reports as the year goes on.
My guest has been Kate Hanai, founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passengers Bill of Rights. You can find the organization on the web at www.flyersrights.org. That's FlyersRights.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.